hometown radio for you and yours. The one and only one. 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Virgil Caine is a man, and I served on the Danville train. Till Stormer's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well.
Of the Lou and Steve show. That's Lou Feliciano, Steve Mayo. Hey, Lou.
Hi, Steve.
Great to be with you. Great to be here at VOX.
Same here.
Some 20 years. Lou, a little more like how many years?
26.
26. That's a long record. One I will emulate and try to match. And if the gods favor me, all the good. In any case, it's WVOX 1460 AM call-in radio. 914-636-0110. There's a whole ton of issues we want to get to. National, local, maybe even a few international if we go to Iran and talk about bribes. But I think we're going to enter this venture and set out boldly into this ocean of issues. But Lou, what do you say?
I agree. But let me just say one thing, though. I want to say a deep sympathy for Robbie Robinson. We just heard the band and the lead guitar player passed away last week. And that was a blow to me. 80 years old. And, you know, I seen them at Watkins Glen and one of the best concerts I ever went to. So rest in peace, Robbie Robinson.
Hey, Lou, ditto on that. Robbie Robinson. I don't think many people know the band. To me, one of the greatest rock bands in history. I think, Lou, you'll agree. Composed mainly of Canadians, right?
Yes.
One or two Americans, Love on Helm, I think the drummer was an original and an American, but mostly Canadian.
Yes.
Great people, great guys, and Robbie Robertson, I do know, in that movie by Scorsese,
yeah,
described his ride to rockdom and rock hall of famedom as the best, greatest ride in history.
Yes.
And I'll just put it gently. He put it more grossly. He said something like he met a lot of girls.
Yes. Oh,
let's leave it that way. But he was a good, healthy Canadian, and he wrote beautifully, and he sang, and well, that's a real miss, I'll tell you. The best. Thanks for that reminder historically. Let me also start a little differently. I have an obituary of my own. Very, very private Metro New York matter, but a good friend of mine, Marion Dreyfus. Long story short, she was born in Great Britain. Great Britain, English Jew was she, and very proudly. She emigrated to the United States, became an American citizen the old style way, legally, filed her papers, and she became a near permanent resident of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where she was an outspoken, proud, and loyal advocate of the conservative side of business and of politics. Lovely woman. I met her at several meetings of the West Side Republican Club and also the Manhattan Republican Club. Very brave woman with a beautiful accent, a lovely woman with a really great background. I believe she lived in Golders Green. So if you know anything about Jewish geography,
yeah,
that's like the Great Neck,
yes,
or maybe the Scarsdale of Great Britain. But she was a lovely woman, fiercely conservative, quite observant. She was, I believe it would be fair to say, she's Orthodox. I only try to be. She was born in Manchester, and according to her good friend Hyman Hydrusen, she was, according to her own words and also those of Phyllis Chesler, who was a close friend, a journalist herself, Marion was a great poet, journalist, artist and scientist, calligraphist, graphologists, and a few other talents she exhibited. Graphologist is the type of person who could read your signature and tell what type of person you are. Save a lot on psychology visits to your psychiatrist. But I wanted to get that in because she wouldn't be known widely in Westchester, known in Manhattan at least, and in New York State politics as a great advocate for our side. And our condolences to the family and everybody else. But Lou, let's just open it up with the great national issue, the just reported appointment of a special counsel by Attorney General Garland. I think that's questionable, the timing. I think the quality of that office is in question. And if I'm not mistaken, some may be parties to that. Who are parties to that ridiculous plea deal between the U.S. government, Justice Department, and one Hunter Biden months back that was just dishonored by a federal judge, a very brave federal judge in Delaware, Lou.
I agree. And, you know, it was years ago when they, a couple of years ago when we were talking about this, and when they had the transcripts of the whole thing, when Hunter, when they had, they said he's got to give a share to the big man. That's the time that Obama was president and his father was vice president. So what is that telling you? Follow the money. This was years ago, Steve. This was and during, you know what I mean? This is two people. It was had Trump and Biden now in office. So yes. It was 8 years ago, 10 years ago this happened or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, follow the money or whatever. And how is it a guy who has no juice but his father was the vice president get million-dollar contracts, no-show jobs? It's not like getting a no-show job in Westchester County for $70,000 a year. Yeah. You're talking about $50, $60 million no-show jobs or whatever like that. Yeah. So it's crazy. Follow the money.
The only influence peddling I know is some kids who were lucky enough to become caddies at one of the local or public courses thanks to a connection in Westchester County or some municipality. You know, that's little corruption you accept. This is big time. And I think Americans should stand up and take notice of it, as they weren't able to take notice of, we know, in the last presidential election. So I think all these issues swirl around this appointment, and I think we need some clarity. And, Lou, you've told me also the big beef of Republicans, who I mostly support but choose to differ on many areas, their beef was they weren't consulted.
Well, I think that's wrong. I think that they should have... The Democrats should have put six guys out to the Republicans and says, here's six names or whatever. We'll you pick two out of the six that you would like, and they should have worked with them. That's what I would have did if I was in charge. I would have put six names out of five names out, and you could pick two out of the for the finals or whatever. That's what they should have did. Not that they throw six names out and all six names don't have a mean a hill of beans. You know what I mean, Steve? So I think they did that all wrong. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. This is something. If Joe Biden, President Biden, were the uniter and the humanitarian that he claimed to be during the presidential election, that helped get him elected, let's face it, because comparing that description to the boisterous Donald Trump, to say the least, is, you know, it's foregone conclusion. You're going to choose the humanitarian. But if it's this is to be a humanitarian effort by this administration and Justice Department, we should be taking measure of the public. We should be giving our loyal opposition a choice, as you've described, and that would be fair. That would warrant the support of Republicans, conservatives, Democrats, liberals, and the left, and rightists. This would be common sense. That was not the way to do it, and I think this is headed for partisan warfare.
Well, a lot of people and my friends of mine are not going to like what I say about this, but I got to say it. The Republican Party eats their own. And the Republican Party needs to look at the Democratic Party. If there's dissension in the Democratic Party, federal, local, or whatever like that, you don't know nothing about that. It's hushed up, swept under the rug. But the problem is we air all our stuff out here, which is totally wrong. We need to work together or whatever. And you got to be able to work both sides of the aisle. You have to. You can't say, well, I got my views and that's it, I'm sticking to them. You have to be able to work both sides of the aisle. Otherwise, you get nothing done. You never get elected.
Absolutely true. Otherwise, it's just partisan fights and partisan warfare, changing power every 4 or 8 years. I don't think that's our system at its best, certainly not our federal system. our American presidency, Congress, and judiciary. We deserve a better shake, a fairer shake, with a little more bipartisanship that we hear so much from the media, Lou. And you were kind enough not to mention that the Democrats' great ally in this effort is the media. Which presents their side without any problem, without any hampering. But Republicans, you have to go over to the leftist side in order to be quoted. And for proof, I give you Bill Barr, Governor Christie of New Jersey, and some other overfed character who looks big, used to be Republican, but doesn't represent their side fairly anymore and have actually become pro-Trump, anti-Trump partisans. That's really unreasonable.
Well, look at it this way, Steve. I don't know how much they hate this guy, but they hate him. Now you got another one in Georgia.
Yep.
Another thing in Georgia. He's going to be this week and next week. They're going to have court sessions for it. You know, it's crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It has to stop. That's true. And to me, it's the word I've coined is monetizing Trump hatred. It's not the way the game should be played. We should be benefiting the American public, right or left, Democrat or Republican. This is not what we want, and the media is doing us no favors, in my opinion. This is the Steve Mayo, Lou Feliciano show here on WVOX. We'll get to more of this and your calls right after this break.
Most fun in the morning. Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Everybody, I'm about to say you're hearing Steve Mayo of the Steve and Lou Feliciano show, Mondays at 5:30. Call in number 914-636-0110. Call in, please. Listen on the radio, 1460 AM, our great spot. Unmistakable, unbelievably great opportunity for us to reach our community and other audiences. But if you can't get a good signal, go to our website, www.wvox.com, anywhere in the world for streaming Lou and Steve show right here from WVOX. Also, if you get a chance, look at the Steve Mayo website, thestevemayoshow.com. Let's go to our first caller. Hey, Lorraine.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I just like to say how disappointed I am in the Catholic leaders when the head of the FBI testified that there was one rogue office going after radical Catholics.
Wow.
Okay. But it has come to the forefront that there was more than one office investigating so-called radical Catholics.
Really?
And none of our leaders, well, the Pope never said anything, the Cardinal, none of the bishops, Monsignors, not even parish priests have said anything about it. And if they don't step up and condemn this, there will be more people leaving the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church did not follow the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion has Orthodox, modern Orthodox, right? Reformed,
yep. Yes.
Conservative.
Yes, it is.
And our big split was when they did away with supposedly the Latin Mass.
Yes.
Instead of embracing everyone that wanted to join the church, I mean, divorced people couldn't receive communion, which is a joke.
Yes.
I mean, at a time in your life when you need your church, right? I mean, and they had promised women a bigger role in the church, and that never came to be. That's why we have no more nuns. Very few nuns have joined the orders. And these were the women that educated the children, nursed the sick, and took a vow of poverty. So, I mean, this is it's horrible.
Well, I will tell you, thanks for the education, and I know you're a reliable source for things New Rochelle and things universal. I can tell you that you're absolutely right. Those three legs of the Jewish organization today, it's accurate. There are a few other ones, but they're lesser in numbers. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, you're right. I have lately become more interested in the Orthodox practice only because I felt like, pardon the cheap allusion, it's kind of like eating a, I'll be politically correct, Asian meal, Lou. You know, you have your meal, you have your this and that with your chopsticks, and an hour later, you're hungry. That was, to me, the Reform practice, the Reform tradition, and I've gravitated, as I know many people of my age and generation, have gone actually to Orthodox or to Chabad or other of those more, you know, outreaching and aggressively traditional, to be sure, branches of Judaism, but they do it with no disrespect to anybody, none intended, not to Christians, who, in my experience, are very much welcomed by Chabad, the division that I attend now, but also to other branches, understanding and helpful and considerate of Reform and conservative Jews. But I will tell you, if Reform continues on its present march, Lou, Reform will not exist in 10 years. Conservatives will not exist in 15 years. And all you'll have left are the Orthodox branches and Chabad and other ones of the, you might say, the rightward slant. And that's just the way it is. You can say it's great or not. But I do believe these are survival mechanisms that you've described. And I do believe, as one who's dabbled in Orthodoxy now, I do wish the system, the practice of the Orthodox, welcomed women more. I have many arguments with my daughter about this. So, but you're at least describing an alive membership that changes with the times for the good, sometimes right. for the bad. Catholics need a reformation, Lou, yes. maybe, modern?
Here's what I think, Lorraine.
Yes.
There's a lot of dissension in the Catholic Church right now. A lot of Catholics are mad at the Pope because he's turning too much to governmental and too much liberalism, where the Pope shouldn't be that way or whatever. So there's a lot of dissension, not just in the church community, the people who go to church, but the heads, the cardinals, the bishops or whatever, even your local priests and monsignors. Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing now with the Pope or whatever like that. You know, I think that he's probably doing it, the Pope, because he's trying to get enrollment up in the churches, because enrollment is down. The number one
yes.
country in this world right now that everybody thinks is Italy for the Catholic Church, it's Portugal, believe it or not.
Right.
Portugal is the number one biggest supporter of church right now in this world here. So I think you have to look at it that way. I think that, you know, the old-fashioned people want it their way, and the Pope is looking to bring it into the new generation, and a lot of people don't want that.
Right. Why should, Lorraine, let me just ask you this. As a non-Catholic and a non-Christian, and a just, you might say, an advancing Jew, I second Lou's question. But why can't this discussion be done publicly without any regrets among representatives of the public and the hierarchy? Judaism has its own hierarchy, too. Catholics are most well known for it, but the Jews have it, too. But
right.
why can't that hierarchy and the public Catholicism discuss it in public? Instead, I think the result is some of these ideas and results are imposed by the media, who don't like religion at all, and disrespect all institutions of tradition.
A good point, Steve.
Well, they
there's
also,
no, there's
they
no nuns
also,
no more.
Pardon me?
You were right, Lorraine. There's no nuns. You never see it like that no more. When I was a kid, every church had a rectory with nuns in it.
Well, it's a convent.
Well, convent, yeah.
The rectory was for the priest.
Would you say that the debate would be helpful if it was in the open?
Well, if they would even listen,
yes.
Steve. You know, who knows if they would even listen to this. Also, there were many men who wanted to become priests, but also wanted to marry.
Yes.
I mean, and they just, no, you can't do that. It's sure. ridiculous.
Of course.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Only because they did not want to pay for a family. Like in the Jewish religion,
yes.
you have the
yes.
rabbi and you support the rabbi.
Right.
The Catholic Church did not want to do that.
It's incredible.
Now, isn't that it's stupid? It's
yes.
absolutely stupid. And I think maybe young children would go more, or young families would go more towards supposedly the old-fashioned way of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Needing that nowadays.
But there needs to be outreach. Is that what you're saying?
Lorraine, yes. I just want to interject here is that You know, years ago when I was a kid, I asked him on, because my mother worked for the church for 35 years. She was the house mother at the church. She cooked, cleaned, and everything for all the priests, Our Lady of Victory. And here's the thing. I asked Monsignor one time. He says to me, Lou, he says, the reason is that when you're a priest, you're married to God. And that has to come first before your children, your wife, and everything. And I asked him, I says, why is it that they can't get married? I says, there'd be people lined up the door to become priests because their values believe that way. But he said, that's the reason why. That's what they told me.
But isn't that ridiculous?
I can't disagree.
It seems ridiculous, but I have no voice in this, and I accept that. But I definitely could give good counsel. But let me say something for the Catholic organizations I know. Maybe they're just parishes or schools. I am a supporter of a Catholic school, parochial school, in Hunts Point, the Bronx, Lorraine. I support it because they go into Hunts Point, which at one time was the poorest district of poverty, poorest underprivileged poverty district in the entire country. I like that they opened a school there that was privately run. Listen to this. Takes no government money from any level of government, entirely supported by a board of directors and contributors like myself. Mm-hmm. And they're teaching mainly Hispanic, a few black and white kids, how to groom themselves and enter the prep schools, Fordham Prep, Iona Prep, and many of them on to colleges.
Very good schools.
Very good. Very private. Very good private and very good public universities. Right. And the Catholic lay clergy there, as well as, I guess, clergy, are contributing to that effort. And I know a Jewish friend asked me, why don't you give to yeshivas like that? And I said, when a yeshiva opens in Hunts Point, I will give them money for that. But I don't mean to convert people or to be disrespectful, but I think all religions should follow the great example of our urban Catholic private schools. I think it's a wonderful example.
And how many have closed down?
Of course.
Due to what happened with priests.
The lawsuits cost them a fortune over the years.
Yes.
Lorraine, thanks for that enlightenment. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll listen and learn more in the future. This is WVOX 1460 AM.
Thanks, Lorraine. Tell John I said hello.
Great contribution, Lorraine. Next call, please. Hello.
Hey, guys. It's Billy.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Billy. What's up?
Doing good. I was calling about Trump, but I was enjoying Lorraine. I think it was Lorraine, your prior call about religion. So I want to touch on religion first. You know, there's all these different sects of different religion and different divisions within each division.
Bill, it sounds like an interesting comment to make. Can you hold over the break and we'll have you first?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you very much. This is WVOX, Lou and Steve Show, right here on WVOX, Mondays at 5:30, and throughout the world on WVOX.com. Stay tuned, commercials and news, and then us.
It was too hot to sleep. I followed the sound of a jukebox coming from up the levee. All of a sudden, I could hear somebody whistling from right behind me. I turned around and she said, why do you always end up down at Nick's Cafe?